call it, say,
I
thank the Lord for saving.
Amen. They know what it's about. Amen. That's right. There's hope for anybody.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. Anybody that'll come to Him, there's hope this morning.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Brother Wayne's coming to preach. You pray God use him in the service. Brother Wayne, God bless you, brother. I appreciate and love you. You preach. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.
First Timothy chapter number 1. First Timothy chapter number 1. I appreciate all God's done so far in the service. Amen. If He didn't do anything else, He's done enough. I appreciate Him tugging on my heart, and I hope that He has on yours as well. And I thank God this morning for that truth that Jesus Christ saves sinners. Amen. First Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. I appreciate the song they sing in the choir, God still saves old sinners. And He still does. Still in the saving business. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, and if you have that, and you stand in honor of God's infallible and inerrant word. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. And Paul, writing to the preacher, young preacher Timothy, wrote these words. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause," what cause? "Because Jesus came in the world to save sinners, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life." I appreciate you standing this morning, and you may be seated. If I was to stand here today and make this statement that there is one 8-word statement in the Word of God that totally and emphatically describes why Jesus came into this world, probably most of you would laugh. But that is exactly what we just read. We read 8 words in verse number 16 that said, verse number 15, that said that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, amen. And that is why He came, amen. I want to draw this parallel, and I'll try to open your heart before I even get started. Most of you today, or at least I hope that most of you came into this church to worship the Lord. But while you're here, you may get a little thirsty and go to the water fountain and drink a little water. But that ain't why you came. You might shake a hand, or you may have to go use the restroom. But that ain't why you came. You came to worship the Lord. Say amen. And so we have a group today that says that Jesus came to heal, and He came to teach and preach situational ethics, and He came to preach the relative gospel and the social gospel, but that's a lie out of hell, amen. He came to save sinners, thank God. And now I want to say, you say, well, didn't He heal while He was here? Yeah, He did, but that's still not why He came. Just like you might drink water while you're here. You didn't come to drink water. You come to worship the Lord. And yea, did heal. And yea, did raise from the dead. But that is not why He came. He came to save sinners. Amen. So I want us to look today at the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And that is exactly what is stated here in the Word of God. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. This statement is a definition. It's the summation. It's the evaluation of the entire life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He came for no other reason. Amen. He was a human in the flesh. Yeah, He eat. Yeah, He slept. Yeah, He got tired, but that's not why He came. He came to save sinners. Amen. So this is, this statement is the defining wonder of the incarnation of Christ. It's the solid foundation of the church's message. And it's the testimony of every blood-washed, born-again child of God that Jesus came to save sinners. Now, this statement draws some parallels. And this statement defines the doctrine of the church. But in the same breath that it defines the doctrine, it also defines the false doctrine. Amen. Did Jesus Christ come in the world to heal people? The answer is an emphatic no. And that does away with the many hymns of the world. Did Jesus come in the world to preach a social gospel? The answer is no. And that does away with the Robert Schuller's of the world. Did Jesus come in the world to preach situational ethics and a relative gospel? The answer is no. And that does away with the Joel Osteens of the world. It only leaves those who will preach the truth. And the truth is that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Amen. So we're looking today at the truth. And the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I want to say, first of all, that this is a declared truth. Look at that word in verse number 15, that word faithful. The word faithful means full of faith. By the way, you can't please God without faith. But you can't have faith until He fills you with faith. Say amen. And you come to God in salvation, you come just as you were without one plea. You didn't have 1 ounce of faith. You're not worthy of being saved. But God makes you worthy and God fills you with faith. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at a declared truth. It's declared and reliable. Amen. The word faithful. Amen. That word means trustworthy. And it's only used 4 times in the New Testament. And every time that it's used to define or to exclaim something about salvation or the grace of God. Only used 4 times. So it's this word has legal implications as well. In those days, this word attributed to the court system in that when they stood, they had to swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So this word faithful simply means that it is reliable. It is declared yes, but it is reliable, amen. In other words, you take her to the bank. In other words, it'll compute in your computer. Amen. In other words, when you breathe your last breath, if you will depend on this faithful saying, you will have what it takes to go to heaven. Amen. Yes, sir. So it's declared and it's reliable. Well, it's foundationally reliable. It's got a foundation under it. Now, you're sitting in a building that's got a foundation. If it didn't have a foundation, it'd be rocky. Now, I'm going to dwell right there a minute. It'd be rocky. In other words, when you stepped on the floor, it'd go up and down. Amen. And without a foundation, you can push on the walls and they go in and out. I'm going to get somewhere. Hang on. Fast your seatbelt. That's what's wrong with a lot of religions today. That's what's wrong with a lot of people's works today. That's what's wrong with a lot of people's thinking today. It's not going to have a foundation. And when you look at it, it's going up and down. And when you look at it, it's going in and out. Amen. I'm telling you, without a foundation, you have nothing to stand on. So this is a foundationally reliable statement. In other words, the foundation of it is none other than Jesus Christ. He's the second part of the Godhead. He's the one and only God-man. Just as much God as He was man. Not all man, not all God, but the God-man. Amen. So He's the prophet, He's the priest, He's the king, He's the Savior, and He's the Lord. And He came the first time as a sacrifice for your sin. But He's coming the second time, thank God, as a Savior and Lord. That's the foundation. It's foundationally reliable, but it's also factually reliable. And that means it contains facts. That means it's not a hearsay. But this, listen, the Word of God is the only thing that in the 6,000 years of existence of mankind, not one atheist, not one God-defying unbeliever has ever proven even a dot or a tittle of the Word of God wrong. If you want your history to be right, go to the Word of God. If you want your science to be right, go to the Word of God. If you want your life to be right, go to the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's the foundation, and it is factually reliable. Amen. I read some years ago where, back in the early 1900s, a group of scientists did a study. You know, one of them studies where we pay for it, but the results is, there are no results. Y'all get that in a minute. Amen. So they decided they're going to trace time all the way back and make sure that our time was factually correct. It don't matter if it's 8 o'clock or it's 9 o'clock. Does it? But it did to them. So they found out after doing that, they were 2 hours off. We're 2 hours off on our time system. Well, they scratched their heads and they called in reinforcements and nobody had to answer. Well, the next day here come one of the scientists in that hadn't been there and he said, I know we're at 2 hours of that. And they got real heated at him and said, look, we've been doing this study for 3 months. And you walk in here and you hadn't done a thing and you want to tell us that you know we're at 2 hours of that. He said, I sure do. He said, over in the book of Joshua, God told Joshua he's going to make the sun stand still for 2 hours. And right there is the 2 hours that you're missing. I'm saying this is a factually reliable book. Hallelujah. It will do exactly what it says. It is foundationally reliable. It is factually reliable, but it is functionally reliable. God didn't give us a book to carry under our arms that don't have any action. God didn't give us a book about what used to be but cannot be today. I get so tired of these people that talk about this contemporary music and this come as you are. You know what I wish they would do? I wish they'd just go on and have what they want. They're going to have it anyway. World's always had what it wants. But let them go in and have it. Just leave God out of it. Leave my God's name off of it. Because there ain't a house of God in that mess. Say amen. I've got relatives that's going that way. I know preachers that are going that way. But you're looking at one. Hallelujah. I got saved in the fire. And I can't stand the smoke, glory to God. I ain't backing up. I ain't moving up. I'm going to stay with what I've got. Hallelujah. I watched my old grandpa behind the plow in Stanley County. A United Methodist. Be 97, 98 degrees and him in his 60s. He'd stop out there in that old plow field and he'd just take his hat off, look up to heaven and start shouting. I was a little old 7, 8 year old boy. He never heard an ounce of contemporary music. Are you listening to me? I want to say that what God has used and blessed and fired the house of God for 400 years in this country, He will not abandon it, glory to God. And I ain't either. One preacher said, well, you're going to wind up with nowhere to preach. I said, that's all right. Amen. Since when is the cloud going to take you to heaven? That's right. So it is. It is a declared truth. It is declared and reliable. But secondly, it's declared and recognized. That word saying in that verse. This is a faithful saying. Now a lot of sayings come and go. Kind of like the movements in the religious world. Amen. If the world stands long enough, this contemporary mess will fade out. And the devil will think of something else to throw at the church. Say amen. Sure it will. In the 70s, it was a charismatic movement. Well, that's kind of died down now. Amen. They all run around like idiots, jabbering in tongues that nobody could understand. They got tired of it. Now they're going to something new. Say amen. But when I got saved when I was 13 years old, I heard some old ladies with the bonnets on back there and slung them up and shouted, and I'm going to go out with the same crowd. Hallelujah. I have no desire to change. So it is, not only is it declared and reliable, but it's declared and recognized. I was talking to my daughter the other night. She's here. I appreciate them being here. Miss Happy Day. Miss Catherine back there. She says Sunday's her happy day.
Amen.
Amen. But I will say, I was talking to her the night. She talked about my granddaughter's history in school. You'd be amazed. Oh, you'd be amazed. I knew it was going on, but I got shocked. I mean, they want to give them every little detail of the Muslim belief. And they want to casually mention the person who's had the greatest impact on history. If you want to teach history, how can you teach history? How can you do that without teaching about the one who has had more impact on history than any other figure in the world? His name is Jesus. You can't teach history. How can you teach biology without mentioning the fact that God in the Holy Ghost breathed on the womb of the Virgin Mary and she conceived without a man.
Amen.
But they're doing it. What they're doing, they're brainwashing a generation of children to come up without knowing who Jesus is. You say, well, they get it at church, those that are going to church, and those that are in a Bible-believing preaching church. But the chances of that slim to none today, because most preachers are not preaching anymore. They want to teach, amen. They want to have these flowered shirts on, unbuttoned halfway down, and a toupee on their chest, so they can impress half the women in the church. Amen, preacher. So what I'm saying is, this is a declared and recognized truth. I'm glad that a thief on the cross, one of them at least, he recognized that day why Jesus came into the world. The other one didn't, but one did. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that Apostle Paul, when he got on the Damascus Road that day, he recognized who and why he came into the world. I'm glad, thank God, about 46 years ago, in an old Baptist church, down in Concord, glory to God, I'm glad an old boy recognized why he came into the world. I'm glad a couple of Sundays ago in some events thereafter that some of you recognized why he came into the world. He came, thank God, to save sinners. And everything else you got to put under that. So the church today that in the healing business, they ain't in the book. Church today is in the tongues business. They ain't in the book. Are you listening to me? Church today is in the business of winning souls. They're in the book. That's it. Amen. That's what it's all about. Glory to God. So it is a declared and reliable. It's also declared and recognized. Amen. But thirdly, it's declared and receivable. Look what he said in that verse. Worthy of all acceptation. My goodness. That means it doesn't matter. That song they sing today about God still saves old sinners. The drunk on the street. The businessman. The president. The king. The pauper. The man in the ditch. Doesn't matter to God. God still saves old sinners. Aren't you glad of that? That man in his poison hasn't got a hold of that. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise God.
Because society wants to laud riches on the rich and laud poverty on the poor.
Right.
Rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And the middle class pays for both of them.
Right.
Can I get amen at that?
Right.
That's my political statement for today. But I want to say this to you. I'm glad they didn't get in salvation. I'm glad God sealed it off. I'm glad God closed that door on additions at Calvary. And if you get saved, hallelujah, you've got to get saved because He came into the world to save sinners. No other reason. You can't get saved without Him. So it is a declared and receivable statement. Isn't that wonderful? That means you can receive it today.
That's right.
Are you saved?
That's right.
I think so, preacher.
I'm not preaching about thinking so. I'm not preaching that. You have to go somewhere else to get that. The church of the think so. I don't belong to that one. I belong to the church of the know so. I know I'm saved. How do you know? Because I come the way that book said. And that book's never been proven wrong. And God Almighty cannot lie. And I'm saying to you today that if you want to get saved, you can get saved. But you'll get saved exactly the way God said to get saved. It is declared and receivable. So there's a transaction going on here. God simply saying to you today, I want to have a transaction with you. That's what it is. If you want good business language, I just give it to you. You go to the bank, you have a transaction. You go to get a loan, you have a transaction. When you go to work, there's a transaction. You work, they pay you. Transaction. Your life is nothing but transactions. Preacher, I don't understand to get by getting saved. Sure you do. You live it every day. You go to the bank, you make a transaction. You go to work, you make a transaction. Are you listening? If you go to stoplights, you make a transaction. When it's on red, it says stop. When it's on green, it says go. Say amen. That's right. Well, that's all God's asking you for today is a transaction. But He sets the rules. You don't. Amen. I'm telling you, all He wants to do is save you. It's a transaction. God supplied salvation. God supplied the grace. God supplied the blood that was in Jesus. God shed the blood on Calvary. God came to save sinners.
Amen.
And all you got to do is say, here I am. That's not hard, is it? See, it's just simple. You know, this statement is so mind-boggling that it would confuse the smartest person in the world. It really would. To think that God, in His infinite wisdom, and His royalty and His magnificence, transcended time and eternity, and inserted Himself into the body of the same thing that He created. That's hard to believe. That's mind-boggling. But you know, it's so mind-boggling to them that don't understand it. But it's so simple that a little child... Somebody shout.
Amen.
2 weeks ago we saw that. A child! That somebody that they don't understand nothing. Oh yeah, they do. They understand, thank God, that He came into the world to save sinners. And that's all you've got to understand. Hallelujah. So it's a warranted transaction. Now, warranty says that the holder of the goods guarantees the quality of the goods. I think I'll have a spell. It says that upon delivery, the goods will be as promised. So what does the Word of God say? It says that if you will bow your knee and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And God will save your soul. God will eternally secure your soul. And God will take you to heaven one day. The goods will be delivered just as promised. It's not a 10-year limited warranty. It's the eternal warranty. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Eternal God can only do things eternal. You'll figure that out one of these days. You say, God did something for me, but it didn't last. God didn't do it for you. I said, God didn't do it. If God does it, it's eternal.
Yes, sir.
It's forever.
Amen.
So it is a warranted transaction, but then it's a wholehearted transaction. Look at that word, all. God said, all. Preacher, me too, you too. But preacher, you don't know me. I don't have to. God does. I'm not saving you. And you're not saving yourself. God's doing the saving. So if God's doing the saving, I think we're going to have to do it God's way. Wouldn't you say, that's right? Amen. Yeah, that's right. The owner of the country sets the rules for admission into his own country. And God owns heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to come by the rules that God, who is the owner, has set.
So he said, all you got to do is to say, I'm a sinner. I can't help myself. I know I'm going to hell. God saved me for Jesus' sake. The goods will be delivered. The package will be delivered in your soul.
Woo, glory to God. The Holy Ghost will make it liberate. Are you listening to me? It is a wholehearted transaction. Oh, that means whosoever. Whosoever will, but you got to be willing to be saved. Some people think that whosoever will means I can get saved anytime, any place, anywhere, and all my life. It does not mean that. That's what the devil wants you to think. So the devil can blind you and let you die and go to hell, thinking that you'll have a last chance. You say, what about death and repentance, preacher? That's about a 50-50 shot. If you want to go back 2,000 years. Because there were two thieves on the cross. One did, one didn't. Both of them was in the presence of the Son of God. Both of them knew who He was, but one denied, the other accepted. 50-50. That was then. But now, you don't get that 50-50 chance of death. You know why? Because they drug you out of your mind. They shoot you full of morphine. They shoot you full of painkillers. I mean, you're going to be going out and you're going to hell in a handbasket, but be shouting while you're going. Because the drugs are going. The drugs are doing it. Oh, yeah, listen to me! So if you want to bank your salvation on that one shot of doing it when you're dying, you don't have a whole lot to bank on. So it is a weighty transaction. A wholehearted transaction. Oh, but it's a weighty transaction. The word acceptation. That means it's acceptable. I'm not acceptable everywhere. Amen. About 5 months ago, I found out I really wasn't acceptable. Well, that's another story. Amen. But I'm not. And you're not either. But I want to say this to you this morning. I know one place you're acceptable. I know one place you can walk in the door and be acceptable. I'm not talking about church either. I'm talking about salvation. You want to be accepted. You say, preacher, I've been an outcast. Preacher, when I was a young child, I was an outcast. So was I. Amen. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like after 31 years of ministry to be an outcast. I'd not be wanted. But I want to tell you, I've never, hallelujah, I've never one time felt like I was wanted by God. You live your life, folks. If you're here and you're not saved, you live your life trying to please everybody in the world.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. We're all victims of that. Keeping up with the Joneses. Prosperity. Sure, better job. Better than the next guy. Got to do better. But when you come to God, none of that matters. He just takes you as you are. That's the only way He will take. Just as I am without one plea, but that blood was shed for me, I come. That's it. There are no other stipulations. There are no other qualifications. You don't have to be qualified. He'll qualify you because He died on that cross and shed His blood for you. So it's worthy of acceptation. That means the same thing that my grandpa accepted 80 years, 100 years ago is the same thing that you can accept today. You see, that's why it's so wonderful. It does not change. Man wants to change it. That's what the contemporary movement's about. That's what the tongues movement was about. That's what it's all about, folks. They want to change it. You know why? So they can get themselves involved in it.
That's right.
But it's still the same. When Paul got saved on the Damascus, matter of fact, he'll say that. I'll cover it in just a minute. When Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, hey, the way, not exactly the very particulars of the way he got saved, but you cannot be saved without a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Still the same. Hasn't changed. Isn't that wonderful? So it is a warranted transaction. It is a wholehearted transaction. But it is a weighty transaction. It's got all the weight of all the world. It's got all the weight of all the agnostics and atheists and the Muslims and the Hare Krishnas. They all want to prove it wrong. But they can't. Every time in a old-fashioned preaching church like a couple Sundays ago in this church, every time the wind of the Holy Ghost blows through and another person comes to the altar and bows and gets saved by the grace of God, it's a slap in the face to all them that are Muslim. It's a slap in the face to all them that are Hare Krishna. It's a slap in the face to all them that are trying to get to heaven on their works. It is a declared truth. Number two, it is a divine truth. He said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Divine truth is that He came. How did He come? He came through the blood channel. That's why they can't prove Him wrong. You see, if man had anything to do with it, the bloodline would have never been right. Listen to me. Hang on. Listen to me. In the Old Testament, there was a wife named Sarah who conceived when she was 90 years old. Man could never done that. Man couldn't do that. But God did it. Why did He do it? The bloodline. Are you listening to me? There was an old harlot in the red light district of Jericho named Rahab, and man would have never let her in the bloodline. They would have discarded her. They would have stoned her. They would have done anything, but they have never let somebody of that kind of trash into the bloodline. But God did it. And man would have never let a little Moabitess heathen girl named Ruth come back to Bethlehem and marry Boaz and give children in the bloodline. Say, you might as well shake your head. Man wouldn't have done it. I probably wouldn't have done it. You want that in the bloodline? You want that trash in the bloodline? But God did. Jesus came through the bloodline. But He also came through the birth channel. Holy Ghost of God overshadowed and breathed on the womb. You know, man, a woman has been giving birth to man ever since Eve gave birth to Cain. But every one of them had a man involved. But here come one that didn't have a man. God breathed on the womb of that little virgin. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And they called His name Jesus. Oh, you listen to me. He's the Savior of His people. I'm telling you, He came through the bloodline. He came through the birth channel. But He came through the bloody cross. He died on that cross. He hung there in 6 hours of agony. While they purged Him and while they scorned Him and while the pain and the agony of His suffering, He did it all for you, friend. Amen. I said He did it all for you. Amen. I said He did it all for you.
Amen.
He came through the bloodline. But He also came through the barred cave.
Amen. Right.
You see, death tried to hang on to Jesus.
Amen.
Sure it did.
Yeah.
Mr. Death said, I got Him now. I've been wanting Him all this time. I got Him. But strange thing happened. Death couldn't hold Him. Are you listening to me? I said death couldn't hold Him. Death had His hands around Jesus. But all of a sudden the power of Him that He had His hands around was greater than the power of death. And slowly the hands of death let go of Him.
Hell tried to hang on to Him. When He went to the lower parts of the earth to preach to the captives, I'm sure hell tried to hang on to Him.
But hell couldn't hold Him. And the grave tried to hold Him. When they buried Him in that tomb, friend, they sealed that tomb with a big rock. They posted their best soldiers this world had to offer to Romans. All right, listen. The devil was dancing up the streets and down the streets of Jerusalem. Said, we got Him. He's in the grave. He's in the grave. Huh? But 3 days later.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? Hey, that stone was not rolled back, thank God, to let Him out. It was rolled back so that you might see Him and see that He ain't there no more. He's risen. Why seek you the dead among the living? Oh, glory to God, He's not here. He is risen. He came. He got the credentials. You want to get saved? He'll save you. He's the only one who can. We got people in this country right now looking to Mr. God, Barack Obama, thinking he's going to be their Savior. I've seen that said. I've seen it in print. He's the Messiah. No, he's not. But the one who I'm preaching about is. And he can say, he's got the power. He's worthy. He's got the credentials. Nobody else has got it. You want to get saved? Then why don't you ask him? Amen. Why don't you ask him? He'll save you. So it is not only that, but one more thing, and I'm closing. It's a declared truth. It is a divine truth, but this is a directed truth. Notice what Paul said. It's directed us by standard. And that standard has one thing, and that's the proof. He said, sinner. Sinner. What does it take to be saved? Be lost.
Amen.
You've got to be a sinner.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, I'm not a sinner. Then you can't get saved. Because
right.
Jesus. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You don't know. Yeah, I do. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if you're not a sinner, I'm not preaching to you. You're beyond help.
That's right.
But if you know you are a sinner,
amen,
and you know you are saved,
amen,
then He came to save sinners. He endured that cross. He endured that cave. He endured hell. He endured everything there was to endure, so that on this day, in the month of November of 2009, in this church, He could save your soul.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, you can't get saved either.
Right.
That's what He came for.
Right.
That's what He's about.
Amen.
It's a directed truth.
Amen.
The proof, the plea. He said, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
What we have here is a court scene.
Amen.
And Paul is describing this court scene. And so you have the proof. The judge sitting on the throne is God Almighty. And the judge says, you're a sinner. And Paul says, I plead guilty. Matter of fact, I plead so guilty, I know I'm the chief sinner. Ain't that what he said? And the Holy Ghost is there, and the Holy Ghost says, that's right. You're a sinner. And the proof is, Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. And did the pardon. He said, for this cause I obtained mercy. Are you listening to me? But in that divine courtroom, Paul said, I'm guilty. And the judge said, I'm going to pass. And God, the judge said, I'm going to pass sentence. Because you're guilty. Listen to me, friend. Because you're guilty. Because you're a sinner. Because you were born a sinner. And you're going to die a sinner if you don't get saved. But because you're a sinner, God says, I'm going to condemn you to hell. That's your destiny. Holy Ghost says, amen. But over in the shadows.
Oh, yeah.
Standing somewhere in the shadows.
Amen.
There's one that stood up and said, no, he's guilty.
Right.
He's guilty. He said, I know he's guilty. I know he deserves hell. But I died on that cross for him. I bled and I died. And I suffered. And I rose the third day just so he could be saved. That's where you're at today. Have everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sister, come to the piano. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Now you're in that courtroom today. And God says you're guilty. But Jesus said, even though you're guilty, I'll pardon you. I bore your sin on Calvary. You can be saved. You don't have to go to hell because I came to earth. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the Son of Man could become a Son of God. That's all it is. So I wonder today if you're here. In the quietness of the moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I wonder if you just lift your hand and say, preacher, I'm a sinner and I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I won't come to you. I won't call you out. It's not my style. But I would like to pray for you. Would you do that? Would you just say, preacher, God bless you. I see the hand. Somebody else on my left, on my right. God bless you. I see your hand. Preacher, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Somebody else. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's what you are. You want to get saved? First thing you got to do to be saved is admit you are a sinner. If you will not lift your hand and say, I'm a sinner, you're never going to get saved. Would you do that? Would you do that? Anywhere else in the house, say, preacher, I'm a sinner. Pray for me. Would you do that? Man, woman, boy, or girl. First time here, thousandth time here. Doesn't make any difference. Would you lift your hand and say, preacher, I'm a sinner. Pray for me. I'm fixing to pray. Would you do it? Real quickly. Anybody else? Anybody else in the house? Preacher, pray for me. I'm a sinner. Father in heaven, you saw these hands. Lord, you know we look on the outside, you look on the inside. We cannot judge what we see because what we see is the exterior. So Lord, I know that you can see those hearts. You can see the intent of those hearts. You can see the condition of them, Lord. So I place them in your hands. I've done what you said do. I preached the word, but it's out of my hands now. It's in the hands of divine providence. And so I give it to you. And I ask you, God, if these ones that say raised their hand or whether there's others that did not raise their hand, Lord, if there's an ounce of conviction in their soul, I pray the Holy Ghost will convict them and urge them to make a move to be saved, gloriously saved, in the service today. In Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, Brother Joel.
Come pray this morning. If you lifted your hand, you raised your hand, you need to get saved. God will save you like the man of God's preached, but you'll have to act upon what's been preached. Would you step out and come? You raise your hand, you need to come pray. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you still need to come pray. God's touched your heart. Would you come? Obey the Lord. Would you come?